But in this this chapter, the philosophy of rebirth, we had gone midway with paragraph number 22, wherein he discusses the question of rebirth is in fact in the rebirth in a human body is one of the ingredients of evolution. That is to say, on the objective level, there is the cosmic evolution, and on the subjective level, there is rebirth. So, these two tie up very well together, because they do not have a meaning if either one of them is deleted from the concept. So he says, birth is a necessity of the manifestation of the Purusha on the physical plane. You saw that yesterday. Because the body has the importance, for the purpose of evolution. You see, the old philosophies and yoga and religion have rejected the body as something, you know, meaningless and something that, you know, that is weak and full of suffering. So, all the time we hear all these masters of yoga denouncing the body all the time. You know, such a negative attitude to the body, that after all is full of jada, full of tamas, there is something to die, something with that's going to die. So why bother about it? Why give it an importance? Your Atman is important, go after the Atman. This kind of a negative attitude has been there since centuries, not only in India, but all over the world. Hardly anywhere is the body given its importance for its evolutionary purpose. Well, at the most we can say body is given importance as long as one is young and one it serves for one's pleasures and one's adventures. But this way, what the way Sri Aurobindo looks at it, that it is indispensable for evolution, for the evolution of the soul as well as the evolution of the universe. So that stupendous importance of the body, I suppose, has not been given in any other philosophy. So Sri Aurobindo is telling us, but his birth, whether the human or any other, cannot be in this world order an isolated accident or a sudden excursion of a soul into a physicality. In a world of involution and evolution, not of physical form only, but of conscious being, through life and mind to spirit, such an isolated assumption of life in the human body could not be the rule of the individual soul's existence. It would be a quite meaningless and inconsequential arrangement, a freak for which the nature and system of things here have no place. The intrusion of such a rule of individual soul life into an evolutionary spiritual progression would make it an effect without cause and a cause without effect. Well, I'm just covering all this because we explained it yesterday. The intrusion of such a rule of individual soul life into an evolutionary spiritual progression would make it an effect, etc. The life of the individual must have the same rhythm of significance, the same law of progression as the cosmic life. It must be an abiding instrumentation of the cosmic purpose. I think we stopped yesterday at this line. Now to continue in the same para, neither in such an order can we explain an isolated advent. the one birth of the soul in the human body, which would be its first and last experience of the kind, by a previous existence in other worlds with a future before it, in yet other fields of experience. For here, life upon earth, life in the physical universe, is not and cannot be a casual perch for the wanderings of the soul from world to world. It is a great and slow development needing, as we know now, incalculable spaces of time for its evolution. So this is where we need to look into time and again. Sri Aurobindo is telling, emphasizing on this point, that the soul is not here just for one single birth. He calls it the word a casual perch on the wandering soul. You know, just like a bird that comes, stays on a branch for a while and then it goes away. So our life on earth is not a perch for the soul. It's not that it's traveling between worlds and suddenly it drops on earth and then takes a body, lives here for a while and goes away. So it is not this kind of a meaningless coming upon earth, because it is a great and slow development needing incalculable spaces of time. So this progression towards that eternal needs long time, long spaces of time, many a rebirth. So what Sri Aurobindo is arguing against is the philosophy which says it just comes once into human body and it has no other rebirth. Human life is itself only a term in a graded series through which the secret spirit in the universe develops gradually his purpose and works it out finally through the enlarging and ascending individual self-consciousness in the body. This ascent can only take place by rebirth within the ascending order, an individual visit coming across it and progressing on some other line elsewhere could not fit into the system of this evolutionary existence. Again, do you see the same word? An individual visit coming across it. So it's not a one-time visit to the earth. Because now what it says in the previous part of the sentence, that human life is itself only a term in a graded series. So the soul that started climbing, ascending right from matter, you can imagine how many births it must have taken before it came to the human form. So even as the human form, if it takes again say 50,000 births, still that is only one segment, one section. If you really take the whole process of the growth from matter to human life. Because from matter to life, it has to take many more millions of births. So when it takes a human birth, the number of human births is much lesser. Of course, depending on the evolutionary process, but still, nevertheless, compared to the millions of births, so he says, human life is only one little term. So it's not that the soul is going to end here. And then even after it goes beyond the human body, it has to take so many more births. Beyond human birth also there are other births, like say, if somebody goes into the Superman. So even as a Superman body, it may have to take again many more births. Because all the time, as it says, an ascending individual soul consciousness in the body. So because each time it takes a body, it grows. How much it grows, we don't know. It all depends on the external life, the way it has spent. So this journey is almost so infinite that the births are aplenty. So one individual life is not at all sufficient for this long march of the soul towards the divine. Nor is the human soul, the human individual, a free wanderer capriciously or lightly hastening from field to field according to its unfettered choice or according to its free and spontaneously variable action and result of action. That is a radiant thought of pure spiritual liberty, which may have its truth in planes beyond or in an eventual release, but is not true at first of the earth life, of life in the physical universe. The human birth in this world is on its spiritual side a complex of two elements, a spiritual person and a soul of personality. The former is man's eternal being, the latter is his cosmic and mutable being. You see, the first sentence is so significant, where he says the soul is not a free wanderer capriciously or lightly hastening from field to field. So even when the soul goes from birth to birth, it is not a kind of a random choice that this life I have been this and next life I will be something else. So it is not a capricious, it is not random. What does it mean it's not random? That means there is a particular choice, a particular direction, a particular purpose. But this particular choice and direction and purpose is given and decided not by itself, but by its so-called parent body, what is called here, the spiritual person. In other terms, the Jivatman. He says there is in this spiritual, in this human birth, two things involved. The Jivatman and the soul of personality, the Atman or the psychic being. And this Jivatman is man's eternal being. Eternal being because he doesn't come into time. He doesn't change. The Jivatman doesn't change. It is eternal beyond manifestation. Whereas this soul of the psychic being is, as it says here, is a cosmic and mutable being. So the Jivatman is immutable, the Atman is mutable. The Jivatman is non-evolutionary, Atman is evolutionary. So in its evolutionary process, from birth to birth, it is guided, directed by the Jivatman. So you see, that's what he has given here, that it is not it is not depending on the variable action and the result of action. What we normally think, you know, karmic theory, in a past life the soul has done that, so depending on the past life's karma, it depends what birth is going to take in this life. It's not at all based on the past life karma or the previous life's karma. My present life has almost no logical link with my previous life. It has links with all the previous lives. And especially, as we will see in the chapter later, he would say, my present birth takes into consideration many of my previous births, especially in which the soul has had very prominent personality development. Personality means it is not the ego personality, but where the human outer personality has really given expression to the psychic being. So these personalities have a bearing on the present choice of my birth. There are many factors. One of them is this. So what Sri Aurobindo is denouncing is this old famous popular theory that my past karma decides my present birth. Not at all. So therefore he says, it has no relevance, it has a relevance but no decisive factor. So that is it. And secondly, he would say that after all, there is a Jivatman which is guiding the psychic beings, telling it what birth it should take. Is the child, the psychic being is like the child being guided by the Jivatman. So he would say these are the two personalities. As a spiritual impersonal person, he is one in his nature and being with the freedom of Satchidananda, who has here consented to or willed his involution in the nescience for a certain round of soul experience, impossible otherwise, and presides secretly over its evolution. So the first one, the spiritual impersonal person, is a Jivatman. Jivatman is, in other terms, the individual divine. So this individual divine, he says, who has here consented to or willed his involution. That means the nature of the individual divine is exactly the same as the Satchidananda. But the Satchidananda, the infinite being, becomes now an individualized being. That is called the Jivatman. So he says that he presides secretly over the evolution of the psychic being. As the soul of personality, he is himself part of that long development of his soul experience in the forms of nature. His own evolution must follow the laws and the lines of the universal evolution. So this is his own is the, as we said before, the evolution of the psychic being also follows the laws of the universal evolution. You can understand, because you see, for example, there is the evolution of the animal. Say, in the process of evolution, after life, the plant, there is the animal. So at that time, no soul can take birth as a human being suddenly. Because there the evolutionary process is of developing the animal consciousness. It has to be brought to that kind of a point of delivery. Then only the human being will come. So the soul cannot say suddenly, no, I'm grown enough, I'm mature enough, I will take a human body. It cannot trespass the evolutionary norm. Is only when there is a divine will and the push of the human body comes, then these souls can come forward to take birth as human bodies. So there is a reason. Now, even as human beings, suddenly there cannot be a supramental being. So there's got to be some kind of a preparation of the human body. That is one of the reasons why Mother and Sri Aurobindo did not bring in the supramental body into the physical. Because as she said in her conversations, if she had brought her supramental body, it would have been considered as a freak of nature. People wouldn't have accepted it. They would have only worshipped it, a glorious body, but do nothing about it. And all worship becomes a monotony, becomes a habit. How much are our religions alive today? We all go to temples, is more a process, a procedure, a kind of a social norm, a satisfaction, psychological satisfaction. It doesn't have the living touch when you had in the beginning. You have this kind of elan, this kind of zeal for the Lord. But slowly it cools off. So similarly, if the supramental body had come in the Mother and Sri Aurobindo manifested upon into the physical, maybe millions of people would have come to have a darshan of this golden body. But once having darshan, the curiosity would have gone and say, fine, you know, at Pondicherry there is a golden lady, and finish. So that doesn't help. So everywhere there's got to be a norm of evolution is there. So that's what he's telling here, that it is his own evolution must follow the laws and the lines of the universal evolution. As a spirit, he is one with the transcendence, which is immanent in the world and comprehensive of it. As a soul, he is at once one with and part of the universality of Satchidananda, self-expressed in the world. His self-expression must go through the stages of the cosmic expression. His soul experience follow the revolutions of the wheel of Brahman in the universe. Well, more or less the same thought you can see. The soul experience follow the revolutions of the wheel of Brahman in the universe. That's what I explained just now. The total evolutionary process gives the rhythms of the revolutions and every individual soul follows that. Yes, there could be some kind of avant-garde souls, as we say, the developed souls, the advanced souls, who go very far in the evolutionary process. But they cannot leap over to the next stage. They can come to the brink and halt. So did the mother. She brought her body to the brink, made the Superman body right there. But she did not connect the physical to the Superman body, because that would be a leap over for which the human body and consciousness is not yet ready. So just short of leaping over into the next phase of evolution, she did everything with her body. That is why she could describe about her new body which is there. And that is why Nalinida in his message, when the mother left her body, he wrote saying, all that could have been done in this physical body has been done. All that could have been done. So it is not that the mother's experiment was a failure. It's not even incomplete as many would think it to be. I go by what Nalinida indicated. So that is how I understand she did not make the last link. You know, it's like making a tunnel, one more blow and the other side of the waters would come in. So she has dug deep the whole tunnel, took it to the ocean of the supramental consciousness, and one more dig and the supramental consciousness would have come into her physical. But she stopped short, I suppose. Well, I think we have to stop short, our class too.